Hello everyone, I'm Chaplain John McTernan, and this is our Tuesday evening Bible teaching time. And what I do is I use this here class, I'm going to say, as my test, my beta test, if that's the right way to use beta, with tomorrow night. Because tomorrow night I teach at Word of Life, and I'll be teaching this class here on Jesus Christ can heal the brokenhearted, part two. And so I kind of want to test it here. So it works out really, really good. And let's see who we have here with me now. They have a new format, and this is not good, folks. I can see everybody here, and I'm looking to... Well, isn't that something? Well, hello, Sister Sharon.
Is Sharon here?
Yeah, hello, Sister Sharon.
Yes, hello. Did you want to know about last night or this morning?
This morning. Yeah.
Okay, well, it started last night, about 20 minutes before the show last night. Bobby came to tell me that a foot doctor was coming at 11 a.m. this morning. I said, okay, good. And so, do you think I slept all night? No. Okay. So anyway, we got the program started. I did opening prayer this morning. And it just seemed like everything was just moving too fast for me and everything. And all of us, you know, about 20 after, I hear this strange voice. Well, hello, hello, it's me, the doctor. And I didn't even say a word. Well, you know, you weren't supposed to be here yet. But he says that he hadn't really talked to Bobby yet this morning and everything. And I just says, well, okay. Well, he just sat down and he started looking at my feet and stuff. And he just a really nice personality. But during all of this, Kathy and Paula Jean were working on the prayer program, and Charles was in and out and stuff. And so anyway, we're trying to do the prayer program, and he's trying to work on my feet and blah, blah, blah. And it ends up that Kathy was busy trying to hem a dress and stuff, so she was kind of like praying and trying not to get the needle in her fingers, I would imagine. And so she was doing that, and Charles was in and out reading, talking to us a book he was reading and everything. And then we had Paula Jean. All of a sudden, everything got totally, totally crazy, Chaplain John, just crazy. And who do you think Kathy and I very quickly at the same time deferred the program to take over the program?
I wasn't there. So it wasn't me.
Nope. But this morning, and one person that never seems to be awake when you call on her and everything, and so she promised that she would be here tonight while we were telling this story. Yeah, Paula Jean.
Paula Jean's Paula here.
I wait to tell you.
She took over the program for us and helped us out.
Yeah, I got to remember what being ready in season and out of season was all about.
Yeah, so I just thought that was just the best story I had to tell in a long time. And Paula Jean sold the show and just took care of everything for us. And
well, no, the Lord helped me out. I definitely couldn't have done it alone.
Well, did
and
it turn-
I knew that you were there to come to the rescue if I needed it. But
Oh yeah.
So everything went.
But it was rightfully, it was a rightful thing to do, because all of us were chuckling because of how I had nodded off. I'd gotten to hear Gigi and just the beginning of Rita prayer last night before I nodded away, just kind of drifted. And so when I was able to help out this morning, it was a delight to be able to do that.
Good.
Oh, plus, God actually provided me with a birthday present early, and it was a book that I could read from, scripture, and something by David Jeremiah, a daily reading type with scripture. And I felt led to a specific day to go to and read from, and I think it went well.
Okay.
And yeah. Right.
Very, very good.
So, yeah, we did prayer. All of us did prayer. But I mean, you know, from that point, it was just a little reading and praise the Lord.
Mm-hmm. We went after 11 o'clock too. We went like about 11:20.
A little bit, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, I had a really good prayer time this morning. Because a woman came with a tremendous broken heart. The pastor had been praying with her, and he knew she had a broken heart, and wasn't really getting anywhere with her. So anyway, she came and had a wonderful, wonderful prayer time with her, and I felt like I needed to follow up with her because she couldn't shake the loss of her husband, and that was the problem. And I told her that she was going to have to live with the blessed hope and with the rapture, whereby comfort you one another with these words. And I said that that's how you're going to get the victory. Otherwise, you'll be in a cycle that you're in now. So she seemed to be very calm at the end. And she thanked me. She gave me a big hug. Thanked me. I gave her my card and told her to call me if she was in desperate shape. So that went really well. And then a pastor spoke to me. He actually gave testimony how he had been so off in his walk with the Lord about healing his heart. And he was trying to heal his heart by like knowledge. And he has a couple degrees in theology and all of that. And he said, I see now that I was working to kind of like bury myself so I didn't have to face my broken heart. And that went really good. So today was a great day.
Awesome.
That was definitely, yes, being able to harvest along with plant was wonderful.
Yeah. So I said to him, are you coming tomorrow? Oh, yeah. Yes, he said, yes, I'll be there tomorrow. I'll be there tomorrow. So it was a good day. And
absolutely.
And then I have and let's see. Okay, so Paula Jean, Sister Kathy, you concurring to with all of this here?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, we had a prayer group and all went well and they nailed it down. And
okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And I'll talk to everybody there later after the show. So let me open the word of prayer. Now, I have to individually mute everyone because where I go to mute everybody collectively is not, it's gone. I don't know where it is. So that does no big deal. It's no big deal. But it's just strange. There's a whole new setup here for me to, in this room now. I don't know if it's different to you or not, but it's different to me. So,
are you able to see if we've muted ourselves so you don't have to do it so long as we've done it? Okay.
No, I can't see if you mute yourself. Oh, yeah, you did. Yeah, I can see that. Yeah. Yeah, I can see that.
Very good.
If you mute yourself on your phone, I can't see it. That's where people end up as mutants. Okay. No one laughed but me. All right.
No, I laughed. You just didn't hear because I was muted.
Okay.
Yeah,
all right. So this is part two of Jesus Christ Came to Heal the Brokenhearted. Let me get it over so you could see it. There we go. And part two is there. So it looks so bare, I couldn't just leave it there, so I brought it here. And I'll have to see if I can fit it in here on this, because I love this with the broken heart and the background and the heading and all. So anyways, there we go. And then here is discipleship course, how to walk with God as our Abba Father. Most important, absolutely most important. And whoops. Yeah, I knew I did that wrong. Well, no, I didn't do it wrong. I have it set. And there's four parts to it. We're dealing with part two today, healing the brokenhearted part two. Next week will be Christ frees the mind. And then part four is walking with God, our Abba Father. And this is all the information, how to contact me or go to my website and my blog. And the brochure page. Okay, Luke 4:18, the ministry of Jesus Christ. And the Luke 4:18 ministry is actually the likeness of his resurrection. The power and of his resurrection, that's what Luke 4:18 is, to live a life here after Jesus Christ, because he lived, when he rose from the dead, he didn't have a broken heart. when he rose from the dead, he was in no bondage. He had no stronghold. He was not oppressed of the devil. And that's the way God wants us to be, the likeness of his resurrection. And that shows the foundation of living in the likeness of his resurrection is Luke 4:18. All right. Let's look at Luke 4:18. And actually, I want to include verse 19 also. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty to them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Now, this is the acceptable year of the Lord runs from what we'll say to his, from his resurrection to we go to be with the Lord. So it's an epoch of time. It's not 24 hours. And then the day of the Lord, that comes after we go to be with Christ. When we look at it, it's a 1,000 years. It's the millennial reign as it's detailed in the book of Revelation. All right. Now, the ministry of the Lord, it's in two parts. The first part, and this is the gospel now, Christ died for our sin. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Now, part two of the gospel is he bodily rose with resurrection power. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, crushed, oppressed. So the gospel is one gospel in two parts. The first part is the death of Christ, and that is shed blood, paid the penalty for our sin on the cross. So that's part one. And part two, he bodily rose from the dead. And when he bodily rose from the dead, we want to be in the likeness of his resurrection. So in the likeness of his resurrection, then, he was sent to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised or crushed. So in the structure of Luke 4:18, there's a semicolon. And this semicolon is really important because the definition of it's used between two main clauses that balance each other. So the first part, the gospel, is the first main clause, and the healing the brokenhearted is the second main clause. And it says that they balance each other. So it's like it's not like 95-5. You know, it's more like in this case here, it's like 60-40, you know, that they have weight. They're balancing each other. They've got weight in this here. And it says, and they are too closely linked to be made into separate sentences. So you've got two main clauses. They're not necessarily related to you when you look at it because one, he's dying, and the other, he's resurrecting. And then it says here, they're too closely linked to be made into separate sentences. So you put the first part together, the first main clause, the second main clause, and they're linked together now, and that shows the gospel. So I'm fine-tuning this so we realize what I'm trying to do right now is to show the importance of the second phase of Luke 4:18, the second part of behind or after that semicolon is not just hanging on. It is an active part of the gospel. Two main clauses that balance each other that are too closely linked to be made into separate sentences. So we don't want to kind of like downplay, he sent me to heal a broken heart. It's right up there with him dying on the cross, because he rose from the dead. And being raised from the dead has to do with victory in our lives. That's first comes dying on the cross. Second comes being raised from the dead. Now, this here, Acts 10:38, really summarizes, I guess you go look at Luke 4:18 as far as the second part. So Acts 10:38 says how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And I like that, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. When we look at Luke 4:18, that certainly would apply to the part that says, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, crushed. And when we look at Isaiah 61:1, you could see where that bruised and crushed fits in with being oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. So there's the ministry of the Lord. He was anointed, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. So I like to tie this together with Luke 4:18. I think they go together beautifully, looking at the Lord's ministry and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. God was with him. Now let's take a look at how the Lord heals the brokenhearted. A new heart will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. I will take away this stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. Ezekiel 36:26. A new heart and a new spirit I will put within you, and take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. Now, a stony heart is one that is severely damaged. It's hard from emotionally. Now, it's hard from being damaged. It's a lot of scar tissue there, and scar tissue is doesn't feel pain, and it's hard. When you get scar tissue healing up, it loses the elasticity in that of our normal skin. So all of this here damage to our heart causes it to get stony. God will take that stony heart out of our flesh and will give us a heart of flesh. A heart of flesh feels pain. If you stick it, the heart of flesh will feel it. But it's soft. It's alive. Stony heart is like dead. A heart of flesh is alive. Can feel emotions and things like that. So that's how God takes away the stony heart and gives us a heart of flesh. Now, I want to show you here Luke 4:18, because Luke 4:18 and Isaiah 61:1 go together. Isaiah 61:1 is prophecy about what the Messiah is going to do. Luke 4:18 is the fulfillment of Isaiah 61:1. So they actually go together. So when the Lord is in the synagogue there on the Sabbath, and he's reading the scriptures, it's Isaiah 61:1. All right, so Luke 4:18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal brokenhearted. Isaiah 61:1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord had anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. So the ministry of Jesus Christ now can involve, I hate to use the word steps, because it's not quite right, but I couldn't think of a better word. So the gospel to the poor, that's, you, we see that both in Isaiah 61:1 and Luke 4:18, forgiveness of sin and assurance of eternal life. Then healing the brokenhearted. Now I haven't gone into the deliverance, to the deliverance of the captives, but that's strongholds in the mind. Set at liberty those that are bruised or crushed. We did go over that a little bit now. But what I want to drive at is all this can happen simultaneously. You don't have to have like 10 sessions. It's when you're preaching the gospel to someone, you can, and as long as you got time, sometimes you don't have time. All right. But you got time and you say, well, look, I just prayed for you now to have assurance of eternal life. Do you have assurance of eternal life? Yes. Yes, I do. All right. Now I'm going to pray for the healing of a broken heart. And, you know, it doesn't have to be an in-depth, tremendous prayer, except if it turns out that way. And then, you slide into breaking strongholds. And then you slide into setting at liberty those that are oppressed of the devil. And you can do it all at the same time. And that's the way the Lord wants us to do it, because now you've got someone on the road to discipleship. There, God is working in their life to heal a broken heart, maybe right then and there. Or the door is open now for the Lord to start working in their life to heal that broken heart. But any, in any event, you've got the process going now to fulfill Luke 4:18. So how the Lord heals our heart. Now, Isaiah 53 is one of the most famous chapters in the Bible because it's so descriptive about the Lord's ministry on the cross. And it clearly, clearly tells you why he died on the cross for our sin. But there's something else in there that is very, very easy to read over. It's found in Isaiah 53, 3 through 5, and that he died on the cross for more than our sins. And let's take a look at it now. Isaiah 53, 3. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He is despised, and we esteemed him not. Now, folks, when us as human beings here are despised and rejected, and it says he was acquainted with grief, so he felt grief like we do. But being despised and rejected is one of the ways to develop a serious broken heart. If someone grows up in their family and they're despised and rejected, that is 100% sure of a broken heart. 100%. You know, if someone, the family's pretty good, but they go to school and starting in, I don't know, the fourth grade, fifth grade, they're despised and rejected because they got red hair, let's say. I just made that up. And it goes all the way through to high school or for a period of time. Yeah, that can break the heart. That rejection's a powerful tool, folks, against us. So he was facing, the Lord was in his life, I would say in the ministry. I don't know about, the scriptures don't go much into the Lord before he was 30. But when he was called for the ministry, even though he was doing all these miracles and a great teacher and all, he was always running into the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the skeptics. I believe they attacked him for the virgin birth. So, yeah, he was, and then, of course, I think as he went closer to the cross in his ministry, it got more intense. But he had everything operating in him to have a broken heart. So he knows what it is to live with deep grief, like many of us have done. Now we get to verse 4. Surely he has borne our griefs, there it is, and carried our sorrows. So on the cross, he took everything that would break our heart. Because this is what Isaiah 53 is about, the cross. Surely he had borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. So they were thinking that it was good. The people were thinking it's good that he was stricken and smitten of God and afflicted. So in a sense, it was good. That way all our broken hearts could be healed. But they didn't know that at the time. You know, they thought he was like a cursed sinner, and it was right for him to die on the cross. When of course he was without sin. He was the only begotten Son of God. But on the cross, he bore our griefs and carried our sorrows. That's the broken heart, folks. Verse 5, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Now there's the sin. Then it says the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. The chastisement of our peace. Before the cross, really, maybe at fleeting times, they could have peace like we have it, we can have now through Jesus Christ. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, can assure your heart and mind, Christ Jesus. So we can have the same peace in us that Jesus Christ had when he walked on the earth. In fact, he said it, my peace I leave unto you, my peace I give unto you. So the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And then it ends with, and with his stripes, we are healed. So we look at verse five again. He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. That's all joined together. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. That's all joined together now. And with his stripes, we are healed. So, how do we have peace? The stripes we are healed. How do we have forgiveness of sin, their transgressions and iniquities? With the stripes we are healed. And of course, it's also used for bodily healing, but I'm not looking at that right now. So we can obtain peace in our heart with the combination of Jesus Christ on the cross there, in the process for the cross. Being wounded for transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, and bore our griefs and carried our sorrows. The combination of the both, we have peace with God. We have peace with God. And it's that peace, what the world is really looking for, folks, is peace. So many people are troubled deeply inside. They're going to psychiatrists. They're going to psychologists. They're taking various drugs. Maybe they're even taking illicit drugs. They're drinking a lot of alcohol because they're like tormented inside. They got broken hearts. They got strongholds in their minds. They're being oppressed of the devil. And there's no way out of it. The only way out of it is through faith in Jesus Christ and the gospel. So now through him, the chastisement of our peace was upon him. So whatever took away the peace that passes all understanding, God placed on Jesus on the cross. Whatever griefs and sorrows we should encounter in life that would break our hearts, God put it on Jesus on the cross. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. So right there in Isaiah 53, where we overwhelmingly focus on it because of sin, and that's fair, but there's those scriptures right there that's really dealing with emotions. The emotions, grief, rejection, being despised, bore our griefs and carried our sorrows. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And it's really, when I come here and teach this, it's amazing to me how I could read over Isaiah 53, never sunk in these scriptures until the Lord led me into this ministry. And then they jump right out at me. There's the broken heart right there. There it is. So not on the cross. There's the gospel on the cross, and I'm going to show you that. There's the gospel, his death and resurrection, the resurrection in that, the chastisement of our peace was upon him. He bore our griefs and carried our sorrows. That's all from the resurrection power. Our heart, the cross makes it possible to live in the resurrection power. So the fact that he took our sins, opens it wide now, where we can, and he rose from the dead. Now we can live in his resurrection power. I think it's deeply helpful if people are dealing with severely broken heart, or anyone for that matter, to know that on the cross, Jesus borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, and he took on him anything that should prevent us from having the peace which passes all understanding. And with his stripes, we are healed. So here's the blood covenant. The gospel is a blood covenant because it was made in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ with anyone that believes. So Isaiah 53, here's the first part of the gospel, the blood covenant he made with us. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. That's the good news. There is the good news to the meek. He took our sin. Then the resurrection part, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. So we go over to Luke 4:18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Well, there it is. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted. This the resurrection power. So in Isaiah 53, you've got like Luke 4:18 and right there, and Isaiah 61:1. When you can discern it, when you can see that our heart, Jesus took everything that is necessary to heal our broken heart, and that has to do with the resurrection power. Yeah, I mentioned this already. All right, now the broken heart. So we've got the picture. I've got the picture here of a shattered heart. There's no way that that heart can be like, you know, put back together. There are probably pieces blown away from it. Now, on the right-hand side is, I think, something we can all relate to. And in Isaiah 61:1, it says, bind up the brokenhearted. So here, there's an x-ray, and you could see that tore apart leg bone there, and how it's fractured. That is a nasty break there. That's a fracture. So that's a picture of how our heart is fractured. And I shared that last week from both the Greek and the Hebrew for the word broken, connected with broken heart, broken hearted, it looks like that leg and that heart there. I mean, it is fractured, broken, demolished. A broken heart is not a little crack. It's a shattering. And only the great physician can heal that shattered, broken heart. So here's the healed heart. This is a bound up heart now, and it's all put together. And that's, like glue that you're looking at is gold. It's a gold, paste, that puts it together. The reason I'm saying it's a gold paste because it's, the Japanese, do that. They fix broken things with a gold paste. And it's actual gold that makes whatever they're fixing, it really enhances the value. Now, over on the right-hand side, there's the binding up. You get the top half and the bottom half of that shattered bone, fractured shattered bone. You put a rod along the bone, and both above and below where the crack is, you screw the rod, you put screws in it into the bone, and it binds it up, and that leg will now be healed. I'm wondering, I'm going to have to ask Dr. John about this. Does that rod stay in there permanently, or is that taken out, we'll say, a couple months when that bone is completely healed? But in any event, that fracture now is bound up. Before that, that leg could never, it was so severely fractured, you could put no weight on it at all. It was subject to infections. It was subject to, maybe the bone, coming through the skin and a lifetime of misery. That's the way a broken heart is. A broken heart can be a lifetime of misery until it's healed by the great physician, Jesus Christ. So here's a bound up, severely fractured leg, and then a bound up heart. And God calls that heart there a new heart. All right. The fullness now of Luke 4:18 and Isaiah 61:1 through 3. And I'll explain this as I get into it. All right. When the Lord spoke in Luke 4:18, as it's recorded in Luke 4:18, he was quoting from Isaiah 61:1 through 3. Now, I mentioned already that Isaiah 61:1 through 3 is a prophecy about what the Messiah was going to do. So there's actually more reported in Isaiah about the ministry of the Messiah. Isaiah 61:1 through 3 is one thought joined with semicolons. Now, and I mentioned already the importance of semicolons. So let's look. I want to show you one little bit of a unique thing here, comparing Isaiah 61 with Luke 4:18. All right, Isaiah 61:1. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. Semicolon. Now, what I did was, when you look in verse 2 there, it says to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Now, I already discussed that means the time period from the Lord's resurrection, dying on the cross, resurrection, all the way for us to going to be with him. But when you look at, and here it says, in the day of the vengeance of our God, it ends in Luke 4:19. Luke 4:19 says, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And I already showed you that. So I just wanted to show how precise this is. The Lord stopped well, that asterisk is in Luke 4:18. But then it continues. So that was done with clarity of mind. The Lord knew exactly what he was doing when he read up to the asterisk there and closed the scriptures. He will come for the vengeance of the day of vengeance of our God. It's his second coming, when he's going to completely destroy evil, wickedness, and sin off the earth. All right. And then, but then it says in verse 2, to comfort all that mourn, semicolon. So we see verse 1 and 2 joined together with the semicolon. And then we see verse 2 is now joined with verse 3 with the semicolon. And notice the word mourn. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion. Now that's the second use of the word mourn. To give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the third mention of mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the trees of righteousness, planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Period. Everything I read from Isaiah 61, 1, 2, and 3 is all one thought linked together with semicolons. And you know, semicolons means that it's all related and that it's all put together by semicolons because it's all related. So in a way, the oil of joy for mourning is directly connected with he sent me to heal a brokenhearted. You know, giving beauty for ashes is connected with it. So all we see here in verse 3 is it's all one unit put together. So I kind of want to unravel this a little, how it's all put together, because I think it's really, really important, folks, that we see this. So I'm going to look up here in verse 3 now. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes. Now that word beauty there is connected with a headdress, a wedding, and like the high priest's mitre, it's called, mitre, that he wore on top of his head. So ashes is being burnt up. In the Old Testament, it was for repentance and sorrow. You know, you would put on sackcloth and ashes. But here, the Lord takes all that away, and it's connected with mourning, and he gives us this beautiful hat that people can see. So we could be terribly tore up with ashes. But then the Lord takes all those ashes away, and we get this beautiful hat to wear, replacing the terrible sackcloth and ashes. Then it says, the oil of joy for mourning. There's mourning again, folks. And mourning here, the oil of joy. When I see oil there, what I think of is the anointing oil of, they would anoint priests and kings. And it was olive oil with like wonderful smelling spices in it. And whoever was anointing the king would have this big vat of olive oil with all of that spices. And they would pour it over the king's head, and it would flow down on the head, like to the shoulders, then down the arms, down the chest, down the back, all the ways down to the pants and down to the feet. I mean, there was a lot of oil poured out. And that's what God does for us. The oil of joy. He will anoint us with joy for mourning. God does not want us to go into mourning. Now, I'm going to qualify this a little, because we have a natural mourning in us. The loss, the passing of a mother or father, the passing of a child, that can cause us to mourn. And that's a human, that's put on us. I think of when the Lord was in front of Lazarus' tomb, his grave there, and he had asked the stone to be rolled away because he was going to raise Lazarus from the dead. He was crying. He said, Jesus wept. And it's odd because he was just going to raise him from the dead. But that everybody around was crying. And I think Jesus was really sad because it wasn't meant to, didn't have to be like this with Adam and Eve, but he was the creator. He knew. So that made him a great sorrow. It says Jesus wept. That woman that I ministered today in the prayer meeting, she had the dangerous mourning that scripture it warns about. And I can't get into it right now. I'm going to come back to mourning in just a moment. But she needed the oil of joy. In fact, I did pray over for that, because her mourning was very destructive. Very destructive. All right, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. So, garment means it's stuck to us. Your clothes is right there with us. So that's praise. Praise is like surrounding us. So you've got the oil of joy covering us for mourning, and then the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Spirit there means your disposition as troubled, bitter, discontented. So it's negative for the spirit of heaviness. So the mourning puts a spirit of heaviness on us. See, because this is all connected with mourning. So the mourning can cause us to be troubled, bitter. Look at that, bitter. This contented. And so we can develop a very, very bad, as the definition goes, disposition. And then it says heaviness. So being troubled, disconnected, this contented. Well, come on now, lips talk. A bad disposition. It can cause us to be dim, dull, and faint, weak. So that is all a result of mourning. That disposition can spill over, and it calls it heaviness on us. That heaviness is a dullness, dims our thinking, and faint, like we're weak. Now the rest of this, I'm going to pick up shortly, that they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Now let's get back to mourning here. The synonyms, agonize, anguish, grieve, hurt, sorrow, suffer. So when I look at this mourning, and it's got right leading off, agonize and anguish. Until the Lord led me into this ministry, I never realized there could be a deepness to mourning, agonize and anguish. My view of it was shallow. You know, someone's mourning, well, they feel bad, like, or something like that. Now, of course, I know what anguish means and agonize means. So if someone said to me, so-and-so's father passed away and he's in anguish, I understand that. What I didn't understand within mourning is anguish. Within mourning is agonize. Now, grieve, yes. Mourning and grieve, yes. Mourning and hurt, yes. Mourning and sorrow, yes. Mourning suffer. Yes, not just agonize and anguish at a much deeper, like more powerful. So I have a much more of appreciation for the word mourning now, especially in scriptures. Now, but there's a secondary release. So agonizing and anguish, grieving, hurt, sorrow, and suffer can take it to another level. The next level is affliction, distress, now anxiety. We don't use the word woe anymore, but woe, years ago we would use it, woe unto you, you know, woe unto you. So woe is, especially in the scriptures there, it's bad news, folks, because the Lord declared woes, and you don't want a woe. You don't want a woe on you. But look at this, heartbroken, wailing, weeping. And then, of course, it's got anxiety there, which is fear. So you could see why God is so concerned about us mourning, because it easily can, that mourning can be anguish and agonize. And then the next level is anxiety, fear, and woe, but you know, we don't use woe anymore. But look at this, heartbroken. He doesn't want us, he came to heal the brokenhearted, wailing, weeping. That was that woman today, folks, who I prayed over. She was deep, deep, deep into mourning. And I did minister to her with joy, the joy of the Lord. And I ministered to her with the rapture and verse 18, 1 Thessalonians 4:18 says, and whereby comfort ye with these words. So the rapture is supposed to comfort us, because it's only a brief separation with our loved ones. And then looking for the blessed hope, that's Christ coming for us, and then that'll entail the rapture. So I ministered to him more, but more than that, but that's how I was instilling joy in him. So mourning is nasty, folks. And that's why the Lord is so concerned, because it can break us into pieces, fill us full of fear, heartbroken, wailing and weeping. And that explains now why mourning got three times it's mentioned in those. Well, actually, two verses it's mentioned three times. Verse 2 and then in verse 3. So with that background now, I want to move on, cover another issue here now. Oh, one other thing, the results of mourning. Proverbs 15:13. A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow, and sorrow and mourning go together, of the heart the spirit is broken. So another dangerous connection with mourning and sorrow is, of course, a broken heart. It says, but by sorrow of the heart. So that tells us it's a broken heart. The spirit is broken. So a heart full of sorrow, mourning, grief, the broken heart can spill over to the next level, which is our spirit is broken. And our spirit is the connection we have with God. So that's real serious, folks. A broken spirit is really serious. I've prayed with a lot of people, but only a few that I pray for with a broken spirit. Well, it's kind of rare, but it can happen. At least in my ministry, it's been rare. Now, God's goals. Isaiah 61:3. Let's look at that now. That all those things I talked about, and mourning now, right? And mourning is dealt with by oil of joy and the garment of praise. And then how does verse 3 end? That they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Trees of righteousness, that's us. That's God's goal in us, that we might be called trees of righteousness. It's sort of, I don't want to say the end, but it's like an ending. It starts off with salvation, and I'll show, I don't want to get ahead of myself. I'll get there right in a moment. And look at this, and that he might be glorified. God can be greatly glorified in our life. This here, following Isaiah 61, 1 through 3, it ends up that we can become tremendous disciples of Jesus Christ to the point we're called trees of righteousness. And that spills over. That's the planting of the Lord. This is his work. We're trees of righteousness because of his work in us. And the end result, that he might be glorified. So God can do such a mighty work in us that he's glorified. Now, with us, there are blessings. All right, so the two goals here is that we are called trees of righteousness, and that he, meaning the Lord, is glorified. That's nice, folks. That's quite something. Trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Now the blessings for us: the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. So we go back to Isaiah 61:3, that they might be called trees of righteousness. Look at Psalm 92:12. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. So what tree, and God loves the palm tree, what tree is connected with righteousness? The palm tree. So in Isaiah 61:3, that they might be called trees. How about this? Palm trees of righteousness. That's God's goal in us. And he loves the palm tree, folks. And I pointed it out when I was teaching about the palm tree, because Solomon's temple, the first temple, had palm trees throughout it, like carved into the stone or etched in. And then the Messiah's house there during the millennial reign. And we look in Ezekiel 40 through 43, 10 times it mentions the palm trees that are all throughout the temple there. They're going to be palm trees. So God loves the palm trees, folks, that they might be called palm trees of righteousness. And knowing how God loves the palm trees, folks, that is a great honor. Great honor. So let's look at the goals a little more. All right. The way it works now, the sequence to Isaiah 61, 1 through 3 is salvation in Christ. And all I'm doing here is going in order, folks. But I do think when something is in order like this, God wants our attention about it. So Isaiah 61, 1 through 3, again, the sequence, salvation in Christ has to happen. There's no way that this sequence can end up the right way without having Christ as our Savior. Then immediately what follows? Healing the brokenhearted. So yeah, the brokenhearted is serious without he's saying, but that's what he wants next. So following salvation, our heart should be healed. Then built upon the healing of our heart, freeing of the mind, freeing the mind of strongholds. These strongholds they can be powerful, folks. And the Lord wants our heart healed. And then with our heart healed, our mind free of strongholds, then he wants us freeing oppressed of the devil. There you go. Three things that are all kind of intertwined, but I look at it as going after the heart first, heal the heart, then bring the mind in. That's exactly what I do, folks. when I'm ministering in anywhere, that's what exactly what I do. And then freeing, being oppressed of the devil. Now, healing and protecting emotions. And the way he does that is with the oil of joy. A way of us being a tree of righteousness is we're full of joy. And also with that is the garment of praise. And all of this leads to we're trees of righteousness. And it leads to God being glorified in our life. And we've got to know this. We've got to realize this, that how important the healing of a broken heart is. We can't reach, it hinders us becoming trees of righteousness. And if, and along with that, it hinders us from all of, what goes along with being a palm tree there, being associated with being a palm tree. We're blocked, folks, to a certain degree. The strongholds in the mind block us. Freeing, we got to be freed from being oppressed of the devil, because we're so busy fighting the devil in our lives, being oppressed of the devil, that we can't go beyond that. And so the Lord wants us to be living with him under the oil of joy. No matter what happens, we can get maybe knocked off our feet, but when we're living in the joy of the Lord, we'll come back, folks. We'll come back. But that joy of the Lord, that anointing, the oil of joy for mourning, covered with joy from the top of our head to the bottom of our feet. Folks, this is the way to become a tree of righteousness before the Lord. The garment of praise. Praise. Praise and joy. There you go. That garment covers us and it protects us from that spirit of heaviness, that a bitter disposition, angry disposition that leads to us being powerless, folks, faint. That. So there is the sequence, folks. That's why Luke, in Luke 4:18 or Isaiah 61 there, we should be preaching the full gospel, the saving gospel of Jesus Christ, and the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. And now notice how it ends, that God may be glorified. I think all of us wants God to be glorified in our lives. I mean, Jesus died on the cross to shed his blood, paid a penalty for our sin, so we could have assurance of eternal life. And all of us then want God to be glorified by us. And this victorious living, this is overcoming, folks. This is overcoming. God is greatly glorified. So look at the testimony we have. A heart healed, mindset free, not the slightest being oppressed of the devil. Our emotions are protected from mourning and sorrow and grief and all of that. We're covered with the oil of joy and also covered with the garment of praise. And now we're trees of righteousness, palm trees of righteousness, and God is glorified in our life. So that's God's goal, folks. He wants to be glorified by us, victorious living like this, victorious living. And then I wanted to, show something here about the palm tree and why the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. Remember, we're palm trees of righteousness. All right. Life is in the core of the tree. Not all trees are like that, folks. So our very inner being is where our life is. The trees live very old compared to other trees. And so we could have, very old and productive life. The date palm tree grows straight for 75 feet or more. I should actually make that more, 100 feet. But it grows straight, and righteousness gives in your mind gives us something straight. You know, like crooked is not righteous, and that's the way it is. The palm tree is straight up. The palm tree has deep roots, deep, deep roots. The roots go down as deep as the tree. The palm tree is very resilient. It thrives in any environment, including the desert. Its roots just go down deep, deep, deep in the desert. It bears fruit into old age. The palm trees can be bearing fruit up to 80 years old. The fruit is very sweet, and the older it gets, the sweeter it gets. And it can give fruit all season long. The dates are a powerhouse of nutrition, and they can harvest 300 pounds of dates a year. And if my memory serves me correct, there's like, I think, 10,000 dates per tree that can be harvested. And all of the tree is used. So the fruit is used for food. The leaves, they make all sorts of baskets and things like that out of them. And then the tree, when the tree like is too old now and dies, it's excellent for wood. So all of this can be like in us, our core. So fires won't kill the palm tree like it kills other trees. Palm tree is extremely resilient. It grows straight up and deep roots. That's righteous, righteous like the palm tree. Straight up with great, resilient. It'll grow anywhere. Bears fruit into old age. The fruit is very sweet. It comes all season long. The fruit is very nutritious. It gives life. So our fruit, we should be life givers. Harvest a great amount of fruit, and all of the tree is used, and we want all of us to be used by God. And the importance of the healed heart, just like I showed you already, but I want to show you another one. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 12 and 13. And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one towards another and toward all men, even as we do towards you, to the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. So there you go. He wants us, to the end he may have established your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father. And this is at the rapture, folks. This is for the rapture. God wants us, our hearts unblameable in holiness before God. So having our hearts healed and following what Isaiah 61, 1 through 3 lays out, we can become a tree of righteousness. And that would mean our hearts are unblameable in holiness before God. All right. That'll end it for tonight. And let me go over to the conference room. There I am. I am in the conference room. And if anyone would like to have any questions or you'd like to call in, please, 717-409-5553. So we'll start over here with Paula Jean. Paula Jean, I got a little bit carried away tonight, and I would have liked to, looking back at it, there were probably two times I would like to stop and asked if there were any questions. So we're at the end now, and do you have any questions?
I did not accumulate questions. I was busy following you and enjoying the order that you have made out of this. I am very appreciative because it makes it easier to share with others. Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you. And then Sister Sharon. Now, is Sister Sharon
I muted me, so we were double muted again. And I really, really enjoy listening to the Broken Heart and the Healing of the Broken Heart series. And I just hope other people love it too. And we can share this with others and we can talk about it and hopefully help somebody.
All right. And, you know, the sequence is very, very important. So I did add at the end. Paula Jean, I want to ask everybody this. Paula Jean, at the end, how did it come across? Because this is important to me about, God's goal in us is to be made as trees of righteousness and that he might be glorified in our life.
Well, I think that I love that you're heading us in that direction and using that as a criteria, as an example. I confess to you that at the end, I had gotten behind in my note taking, and I was trying to just pull forth, you know, the critical parts so that I would have it. And I was busy working instead of listening and absorbing.
That's my fault because I should have stopped twice during it. And I should have stopped and said
that probably would help in the future. But I think that as we, you know, repeat and learn, it will take care of itself in that sense. But if you were sensing in the spirit that you needed to stop, then that would be good. I don't know that everybody gets involved like I do.
Well, I was so focused on it because, as you could tell, I spent a lot of time reorganizing it and adding certain things and all, some scriptures. And so I was really focused on that when I was teaching. But if I had to do it all over again, I would have stopped and say, okay, is there any questions or comments? But anyways.
I wasn't getting lost in questions. I just simply couldn't keep up.
Well, you see,
and I didn't want to lose in my note taking.
The ending is very, very important to show the importance of, well, of course, salvation. But in the teaching, I'm going beyond salvation to the resurrection power in our lives.
Exactly. God, what the real goal is.
But God's desire is that we should be trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. And then he is glorified. Okay, thank you. All right.
Beauty from ashes rise up. And basically what's amazing to me is that these are little steps that I've been taking, okay? But it's like he's the one that's really taking those steps with me. He's enabling it to happen. That's the resurrection power.
Right. That's where it isn't our willpower. It's not us doing five steps, eight steps, 10 steps, and all of that.
Right.
No, it's him working through us.
That's right. And so the reason why I've been so caught up is because I'm so thrilled to have it put together this way. And so, again, flesh comes in when you want to grab a hold of something sometimes. And now I'm going to sit back and relax and remember, I can go and play it again.
Right. There you go. Okay.
It's not a big deal. It's something that can be taken care of easily.
Thank you. All right. Sister Sharon.
Yes.
Okay. Your comments or questions?
Or Kathy.
No, Sharon, you're up.
Yeah, okay. And I would say I really, really enjoyed it. And like you're saying that that you were supposed to be, we're supposed to be like the palm trees. I think that's what you were trying to come across.
Yes, yes, yes. And God loves the palm trees.
Yeah, straight and tall and
bearing much fruit.
Not threatening and just beautiful.
But we have a format now in the scriptures, a goal, like what God wants us to be and how to get there. And look how important joy and praise is in our lives. Look how important it is.
Amen.
It keeps us from, it keeps our emotions protected. That's what joy and praise does. The oil of joy and the garment of praise. Okay, Sister Sharon.
Thanks. Amen. You're welcome.
All right. Sister Kathy? Sister Kathy is a mutant, I believe.
Can you hear me?
Now I can.
Well, thank you for unmuting me. We will be trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, and we will shine forth like the stars, and we will run the race that is set before us, and I really liked the teaching.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. All of a sudden, you know, I never was really big on palm trees, the date palm trees, but I did teach on it for Palm Sunday. And now this year, because I had that teaching for Palm Sunday, it's fresh in my mind. And when I saw verse 3, trees of righteousness, there it was.
Yep.
There it was. There's the connection. So that tree, there in Psalm 8, Isaiah 61:3 is the palm tree. Is the palm tree. And then connected with that is all the things the palm tree represents. Also, you know, the tremendous fruit, be fruitful in the old age, growing straight and deep roots and all of that. So it's
More fruitful in old age. Yes.
Sweet and fruitful. So that verse 3 there in Isaiah 61:1, when you throw in the palm tree into it, it takes it to a new level.
Yeah.
So, and I just got that, the connection with the palm tree, I just got that yesterday. As I was working on this yesterday, I said, wow, it just like, it was like an explosion in my mind. I said, that's the palm tree, trees of righteousness. Well, what tree is connected with righteousness? The palm tree. So, but one of the big, of course, everything is important there to make sure that our heart is healed and we don't have any strongholds and all. But again, the spiritual power of the oil of joy, and then the spiritual power of the garment of praise, very, very important. Very important to us that we're praising the Lord and we're full of His joy. And to me, Sister Kathy, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, it sounds to me like we don't have to be sad and grumpy and miserable. That we can put on the robe of righteousness, the garment of praise, the spirit of holiness. It's on us. It's available to us.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I don't think you're limited because you brought more out, and that's fine. But I'm going to say the core is the oil of joy.
Mm-hmm.
And my joy is anchored in like the blessed hope, and God is my Abba Father, and looking at for the marriage supper of the Lamb. So when we keep focused like that, they're not just doctrines, they're living realities. When we keep focused like that, we're we become protected. Our emotions become protected. And that's what God is driving out there, folks, in verse 3. What you see, the oil of joy from morning, that's our protection. And because if we get into that demonic mourning, and again, the woman today, she was in a real bad pit with it. It can pull us down, folks, and drain the life out of us. So God is showing us there the oil of joy and the garment of praise. So to me, the garment of praise is like singing and hymns to the Lord, singing, and just praising Him, flat out praising Him. But I connect that with the really godly music.
Amen.
Okay, Sister Kathy, thank you.
Thank you.
And then we have, this should be Gigi and Randy. Okay, Gigi and Randy. Then we have Sister Rita.
Yes, Captain John. I think the teaching was really good tonight, and I was blessed by it. So it was just good.
Good. I'm glad you were blessed by it.
Yes, I was.
Is there anything in particular that stood out?
No, not really.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you, Rita. And then I've been talking about joy, and lo and behold, Joy is here. Hello, Joy.
Hi, Pastor John. Thank you for the teaching.
Okay.
Always.
All right. And I'm glad you're blessed. I'm glad you're blessed.
Yes. And I kind of have a question.
Okay.
Because we are healed, right? But during the teaching, you mentioned so much about the broken heart symptoms. And it could make people to connect to or remember their past hurts.
Yes.
And how to deal with that, you know, safely.
Well,
because if you don't share about that, we may just, we healed, we forget about it. But when you share about it, you bring into memory.
Well, it should be healed. Our broken heart, sometimes when I pray for people, it's like healed instantly. And then with other people, it's a little bit more of a process. But,
okay.
But once we focus in on healing the brokenhearted in the name of through Jesus, the resurrection power of Jesus Christ, that should be healed and in the past and not living with it. You know what I mean? It's not the broken heart. It's there like all the time. Now, something may happen in our life after that, and we might need to be prayed again for the healing of the broken heart because there could be some tragedy, some traumatic experience, things like that. Sometimes the Lord may bring things up from the past. He may not get everything at once because it'd be too much for us. So we could have a huge healing of our broken heart and then realize that we were traumatized and had a broken heart over something else. And that you can usually pray for yourself, or just get someone to pray in one accord with you. Like, look, the Lord's showing me that this here thing really damaged my heart, and I'm been suppressing it, and I need to be healed. So it's not just one answer to it. There's several things going on in there with healing the broken heart, Sister Joy. Okay.
And yes, very good. Thank you. And I know how important I am.
Oh, that was joy.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, the oil of joy. Okay. God bless you.
Thank you.
Let me, Gigi and Randy, hello. All right. And I saved the best for last, Brother Charles.
Thank you, Chaplain. Yeah, I think you did a great job, and I like the way how you tied in Isaiah 53.
Doesn't that put in perspective how important our healed heart is to God?
Amen.
It's not a...
And just, it can never...
Yeah, it took place... I mean, it's on... We always think of, well, Jesus died for our sin on the cross. Yes, yes, yes. But he also died for everything that would needed to be healed for a broken heart. But that's, like, never mentioned.
I know, but I'm glad you did, because it also showed how wonderfully inspired the Bible is, you know, the way he ties in everything the Lord does.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
So thank you for putting the time in, Chaplain. I appreciate it. I really enjoyed it.
I love it. I love it, Brother Charles. I'll tell you what, the Lord, I am so happy. And no matter how much time it takes, doesn't bother me. But I am so happy when I can do things like this, when the Lord lays a project out in front of me. And I love it. I absolutely love it. If he stopped giving me things, I think my mind would, be frazzled, because this keeps me focused. But I wake up in the morning and I'm thinking about it. And then during the day, then I sit down. Usually it's in the evening, towards the evening, when I do a lot of the writing, you know, and I look forward to it.
Well, don't cut any out. I think it flowed really nicely for tomorrow. And make sure, if you did cut anything out, don't cut out Isaiah 53.
Oh, no. I don't know anything to cut out. I mean, I may be a little late coming, because I want to get it all out to the people. So I was following the time, and it took me a little over an hour, because we started, you know, from the time I started teaching, probably an hour and five, hour and 10 minutes.
I think it flowed nicely, and so I think you're good to go. And I think they'll be very blessed.
Yeah, and then what I'm going to do is the last part. I used to have this with the heart, but the last part is post-traumatic stress disorder. And I'm going to put that under when we get into the strongholds in the mind.
Yes, sir. Important, because so many people.
Oh, yeah, yeah. If you were... there was a real bad stretch with me from when I was like 6 to about 13, stretch in my life. And, when I look back at it now, cause I had someone pray over me for post-traumatic stress disorder, because when I've seen the effect of it on so many people being prayed for, they were full of fear their whole life growing up there, and they were subject to violence and all. That's, you can't live, you know, maybe once in a while there's some eruption in the family, okay. But day in and day out, like, no, that's like being in a war zone for like 15 years. Soldiers can't live in a war zone for 15 years. How about a kid? You know what I mean?
Oh, no. It's an impressionable day.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So I saw in myself post-traumatic stress disorder.
Yes, sir. Well, how old were you, Chaplain, when you finally when the Lord cleansed you of your heart and your broken heart?
Well, that was 30 years after coming to the Lord.
Oh, okay.
I came to the Lord in 1974. Well, and it was somewhere around 2004 that the Lord revealed all this to me.
Well, you've got quite the testimony, and I'm glad you're sharing it.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I would have liked the day I came to the Lord that I was prayed over for the healing of a broken heart and all that. I would have liked that. But whatever happened during those 30 years, the Lord had to, it was all involved with me ministering now to the brokenhearted. So if I came to the Lord right away, I wouldn't have the background and the, like, to know the how powerless and everything I was in that area, except I did go through the 30 years. Now, I wish maybe it was 5 years or 10 years, things like that. You know, so I don't question it at all why there's that big delay, other than I'm adamant about the power, the resurrection power in people's lives, and we've got to hear it. We've got to hear it. And so, you know, they can walk in the freedom.
Thank you, Chad.
All right.
Yes, sir. I really appreciate it.
All right, we're going to we're running out of time here now. So, let me close in prayer, and then Charles, what song would you like?
Oh, how about something that never gets old is "How Great Thou Art" by George Beverly Shea.
Okay.
I think that's a good one to close out the teaching.
Okay.
I appreciate it.
I just want to get that set up here. How great thou art. Now, you sure you don't want Elvis Presley? It comes right up. Well, no. George.
We'll go with George.
Okay, here we go. Not yet.
All right.
Father, I thank you for tonight, Lord. I thank you for the power, salvation, Lord. And I thank you for the power of your resurrection, the resurrection power. And Lord, we like dry up in the vine here without your power flowing through us. And Lord, there's so much bondage that cannot be treated carnal, Lord, as your word says. It can only be the resurrection power. All the people, the depression and anxiety, Lord, and fear and all of that, post-traumatic stress disorder. What's needed is your resurrection power flowing through us, Lord. And that's how we walk with you, Lord, in that power. It's not we're powerless and you're there with us. No, when we walk, Lord, and like walking with God as our Abba Father, that's in the, with the resurrection power. So I pray that everyone in this ministry, everyone, will be free in you. If the Son therefore shall set you free, you're free indeed. And if we're freed by him, it's in his resurrection power that we would be. I want everyone in this ministry to be in the likeness of his resurrection. Everyone. Thank you. No bondage in any of us in this ministry. We're all free in you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. And Lord, you care so much for us, even on the cross. Jesus bore our griefs and carried our sorrows, Lord. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him. Thank you, Lord, that every one of us can live with that peace that passes all understanding, shall assure your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Thank you. And then, Lord, your love. I pray for your perfect love. Perfect love casts out fear, because fear is torment. He that fears is not made perfect in love. Lord, I'm asking that we're all made perfect in your love, and that perfect love is that we have boldness in the day of judgment, Lord. And confidence, that's what that boldness is, confidence. Because we're your little children, and you are our Abba Father. So, Lord, that we may walk in that love between the little child and his Abba Father, Lord. And then connected with that, Lord, I pray that every one of us will be greatest in the kingdom of heaven, because that was your requirement, that except we could become like little children and be converted, you shall not see the kingdom of heaven. And so, Lord, you really want us to be like little children, Lord. So I pray that everyone in this ministry will be like your little child. And that way we will have boldness in the day of judgment. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We praise you and thank you, Lord. I pray tomorrow night is a blessing, Lord. I had everything there laid out right, Lord, and it's all ready to go. So we praise you and thank you, Lord, for it. And Lord, I pray that everyone that is actually the two churches are together, My Shalom and Words of Life. But I pray everyone there would be freed, Lord. No one would be in bondage. Everybody would be walking in your joy, Lord, and your power. No one in bondage, Lord. Anyone that names your name should be free, Lord. And again, that's because of the resurrection power. As Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so also should we walk in newness of life. All of us would walk in newness of life, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We praise you and thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, here we got George Beverly Shea, How Great Thou Art, live way, way, way back to 1957. Now, most of you were born there, but I was 9 years old. I was 9 years old. And, okay, so here we go. George Beverly Shea, How Great Thou Art, in 1957.
Mr. Shea, now sing for you, How Great Thou Art.
it slid right into it. We'll close with Jerusalem.
That could not be hid. John saw the city. Oh, yes, he did. John caught a glimpse of the golden throne. Tell me all about it. Go right on around the throne. He saw a crystal sea. There's got to be more. What will it be? I want to go to that city he saw, New Jerusalem. Streets that are golden, and I want to run where the angels have trod. Jerusalem, I want to rest on the banks of your river, in that city, city. Lay down by the lamb. I want to know everything about that land. John saw the day, but he did not see night. The Lamb of God, well, he must be the light. And he saw the saints worship the great I Am, crying, worthy, worthy is the Lamb. I want to go to that city he saw, New Jerusalem. Jerusalem, I want to walk your streets that are golden, and I want to run where the angels have trod.
Well, God bless everybody, and hang on here. Okay, God bless everybody. I'll give you a good report, or sure will be a good report tomorrow when I come back. Now, I want to get all of this in, so I don't know. You know, I may be a little long, a little bit. Maybe not, though. But anyways, God bless you. And, hey, look, God wants us. Our life can be glorifying God. And what a testimony. That's right. What a testimony. We're full of God's joy and peace and love, and we're living, our emotions are protected. And the Bible calls us trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Well, God bless everybody. And remember, always looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And everyone that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure.
O God of burning, cleansing flame,
send the fire.
Your blood-bought gift today we claim.
Send the fire.
Hear our cry.